I'm excited to introduce you to my new series of the Leadership Effectiveness Podcast. And in this series, we will be discussing the topic of high-performing teams. We will be joined by several guests from across the leadership effectiveness spectrum who will help us explore the core elements of what makes a team high-performing. We will be discussing the importance of diversity within a team, the role of purpose, the role of goals in order to drive clarity, how to hire the right talent to scale to the next level of organizational growth and team effectiveness, as well as the importance of investing in wellness solutions that will boost your team's psychological health as a strategic performance-enhancing priority. In our first episode, I will be sharing my own experiences with you about the key elements that need to come together to elevate a team to a high-performing position. I will be answering some of the most common questions I've encountered about what makes a team high-performing, as well as what gets in their way. Questions like, what is the secret to building a high-performing team? What are the pillars of a high-performing team, and how do you determine if you have the right people in your team? What impact will the right foundations have on your team performance? And what are the signs of a leadership team that are ready to move to their next level? And maybe the most important or the most often asked is that I have a high-performing team. How do I maintain that? And is there a possibility or a way to enhance it even further? So thank you for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy the episode. High-performing team. I think we need to sort of take a step back and first of all establish what it is that we mean by a team. And this becomes one of those fundamental questions for any team working together. To be even get to a point of high performing, we need to establish who are we as a team? Who are we? What do we serve? Why are we here? What do we mean by team within this team? It sounds very tricky, doesn't it? But it is such an important starting point. I think that is the secret to building a high-performing team, being very clear within that team what it is that we mean by being a team. And for that, every team will be a bit different. And so therefore, there's no right or wrong. It is about establishing what it is that we do and who it is that we serve. And then from there, starting to build some of those structures, ways of working, etc., which I'm sure we'll come to. But fundamentally, the secret is being really clear on why we exist as a team. So if we build on from that piece of why do we exist as a team, that kind of lends itself to helping us build out these pillars. So you can look at a team, and a team can come together for lots of reasons. First and foremost, the likelihood is that you in the team are an expert in something that you do. You might be the only expert within that team for what it is that you do, or it could be a team of experts within a particular function coming together. And so that piece around how we then work together, how it is that we deliver our work together, how we perform together, it becomes a bit of a melting pot of conversations. And if you think about a team is this melting pot of different personalities, different sets of experiences, different walks of life, different cultures, different ways of seeing success, different motivators, different desires. So if you visualize this team that you work with, just do it now. Close your eyes for a second. Visualize your team. Look at all the different characters within your team and know that you are a melting pot of differences. And that's to be celebrated. However,
It also becomes one of the biggest challenges within teams. So we need to make sure that teams are celebrating their differences, as I say, but being clear on who we are as a team, and most importantly, what it is that we are actually here to achieve. Because that becomes a bit of a North Star then. We're clear on why we exist. And we get clearer from there on what success looks like for us when we get together. You know, I've observed a lot of teams in my career, and I've observed teams that are performing off the scale, and I've observed teams that are struggling. And you can see the differences between those teams that are performing, that have come together, that they know all of those foundations that I talked about, but they've built these relationships within the team. The dynamic is clear in terms of how we show up for each other. The dynamic is clear in terms of how we push and test the boundaries for each other. So what I'm talking about here is trust and relationship. And that is a pillar that takes a lot of time to create and co-create. Co-create being that everyone needs a voice in that. And it takes quite a bit of time because, of course, we're dealing with human behavior. And human behavior is a very complex space because, as I said about the framework of a team, as in the different functions of people's desires and what it is that people are looking for, that changes over time. So establishing yourself as a high-performing team ultimately means that as individuals within that team, you need to be fairly nimble in your ways of working with other people so that you are adjusting to how things need to get done, because everything around you will change. You know, when I talk to organizations about their teams, quite often the organization, they want to talk about their people quite quickly. So here are all the people that we have within the team. And then from there, what do we do? When it actually comes to looking at it from the perspective of what is it that we need and how are we going to get there, I always advise organizations to take the people out of it first. Take the personalities that you know in roles out of the situation and get crystal clear on what it is that the organization is striving for. So what is that strategy? What is it that we're going for? What does our next year look like? 2 years, 3 years? Why? What's going on in the marketplace that's driving that? What's going on within our organization in terms of what it is that we want to be known for, our purpose as a business? So firstly, get clear on your direction of travel as a business. And then from there, you then start to look at the building blocks that you need within that team. You know, so it could be when you have this direction of travel, it could be that you are agreeing as an organization that there needs to be a bit of change. It could be that you might need to diversify. It could be that you're going to go through some form of acquisition in order to achieve your goals. It is fundamentally about making sure that where your organization is going, where your business is going, that strategy, that it's clear on what that strategy is, to be able to then bring that, either that vision and that line of sight and that future focused narrative to a team, and or taking that future vision and thinking about the team that is then in place. Organizations need to be courageous. They need to make sure that their strategy aligns with the teams that are there to deliver on that strategy. So making sure that you as a business are nimble and reactive and proactive to what the market is needing of your organization, and then making sure that your teams are responding to that. That's ultimately what this is all about. I work with a lot of teams who can find this lack of clarity really unsettling. And there's a tremendous amount of evidence which tells us that the one thing, there are, you know, several levers that can really impact a team performing. But number one is clarity. So clarity on what is this direction of travel for the organization? And then how do we as a team fit into that? And how do we fit into that? That comes down to the head of that team being quite collaborative in how they organize their team, but equally clear on what it is that they want for them, for their team. So there is that sense of duality. So coming back to maybe what are the secrets to building a high performing team, if we're looking at the head of that head of team needs to bring this sweet spot of inclusion to ensure that the voices of the team are heard, but with laser focus on what it is that that team needs to deliver on. And sometimes that means, of course, making some tough decisions. That can be, you know, change in direction. That could be closing off particular projects because they no longer are of service to what it is that the organization is doing. That could be holding up the mirror saying, do you know what? Great work, but actually not good enough because we're doing X, Y, and Z now as a business and we really need to differentiate, for example. So this sort of balancing act of bringing the voice of your team members into the conversation, as well as the head of the team being vocal around what success looks like for this team. And actually what I find is that with that clarity, you'll gain the discretionary effort of those high performers who are in your team, because a high performer loves nothing more than a meaty challenge where they can shine. You can only shine if you know what shine looks like, or you can only shine if you're given the room to shine and the latitude to shine. So, secret to building a high-performing team, clarity from an organization in terms of where are we going as a broader business, clarity on what type of team are we? So when I show up in this team, what's expected of me here? And then that inclusion so that voices are heard, opinions are shared, discussions are had. Because one of the things that can really cause a team to not necessarily fail, but start to get stuck is that they, you know, they come with a lot of experience. They come with great ideas, but what they're not always particularly comfortable with is thrashing out those ideas in a brainstorming manner that invites a bit of criticism, that invites a bit of feedback, that that allows for things to fail, allows for things to be tested, allows for things to be tweaked. So that sort of well, we're talking conflict here, but we're talking conflict with a small c. We're talking conflict that leads to influence, innovation, blue sky thinking, growth. And a lot of teams can shy away from conflict, and that can become a real big staller in terms of being able to achieve true high performance. Because without conflict and in conflict with a soft c, we don't challenge each other. And so therefore, when we go back to what type of team are we, the likelihood is that we fall into the trap of becoming an information sharing team. You know, we all turn up Tuesday morning, 9:30 a.m., for example, and we just update each other on all the things that have been happening. Great. I feel very informed. And that makes me feel quite motivated to know what everyone has been up to. But what's the so what of that? You know, what will we do with that information? This is when we really need to challenge each other as a team. And we need to think about how we take this information to the next step. The impact of a team that do not have the foundations in place. The visual I have in my mind is headless chickens. That's what it can look like. Busy headless chickens running around from meeting to meeting. But without that clarity on what it is that they are there to do. So, you know, that team that doesn't have the foundations in place, they're having a lot of conversations. They are coming together. Sometimes a great cadence is in place. They come together, as I say, they're sharing information, but they're not really stretching themselves or each other. And they're typically without those hard and soft rules in place in terms of how do we play together? How does this work? And what's okay and what's not okay for this team? in terms of the dynamics and how we work together. And even just talking about that in itself, what we're actually referring to are the principles of the team, the alignment of the team, the norms and behaviors of the team. This is all behavioral. And quite often it's a forgotten conversation, or it's a conversation that isn't seen as being particularly important because the strategy is the most important thing. And whilst we need that hardness of the strategy to be clear, if we are not aligned in how we are working together, what I find with teams that don't have that foundation in place is that there's a lot of wasted time because they're not maximizing the time that they actually do have together, because they're not clear on what the behaviors of this team are. And in fact, you'll find then that the behavior of the team starts to become something of what one or two people bring. Maybe they are the stronger voices in the room, for example. And so they start to define and drive these ways of working, but you don't have everybody's voice in the room heard and seen. The other thing that tends to happen when the foundations aren't in place is that there can just be a whole host of priorities that can derail the team because there are just too many. So it takes a lot of strength of conviction to be very streamlined in the priorities that you're working towards. But you can only do that when you have a tremendous amount of clarity in terms of what it is that the team are there to do. And from there, you have this way of stress testing your priorities to make sure that they are actually the ones that are going to have the greatest impact, not just on the team, but on the organization as a whole. When you get to this stage that you've got a cadence, you've got a rhythm, you're achieving goals, it feels good. It feels good to be in this team. You know, you'll see people are showing up consistently, and they can showing up with energy. This is when you know that you're onto a good thing, that the team is working well together, and that it's performing. But there is this opportunity for the team to go to its next level. There's something called the zone of creative tension. Some great theory on this, so Google it. Zone of creative tension is a little bit like a secret to how we make sure that we are getting the most out of our team. And making sure that we don't end up with a lull, right? So if you think about a team that are ready to move to its next level, we need to make sure that we are timing it in a way that we maintain their engagement and their commitment. So timing it means that we are finding a sweet spot that they are able to still see success, but they are feeling stretched. Stretched that their skin is still in the game. Stretch that they feel as though it's achievable, but to achieve it will require a little bit more gut and grit. And that gut and grit gets me motivated and gets me wanting to give more. We feel as though we are in a zone of creative tension. Stretch things too far, set the boundary too far, set the goal too far ahead. When the team aren't ready. So this is around timing and readiness of the team. And you could find that the team actually they find themselves in a bit more of a negative space because this arousal of achieving and doing great things suddenly is gone from them because it's been stretched too far. So organizations and leaders need to be acutely aware of who is in their team, what are the dynamics of the individuals in this team, and how do I stretch it to a point that I keep them motivated, but move us to our next stage. Now, a lot of the times you might say, well, that's well and good, Kate. Great. You know, I'll sit there and I know my people, but you know, it's the external environment that dictates a lot of this. So, you know, the signs that the team are ready to move to the next level is also when they are coming to you to say, hey, what about this? What about that? And if they're not coming to you, you are creating this environment so that they feel as though they can come to you and provide their insights into what they think the team should do next. So, you know, you are inviting them in as the leader of this team. You are inviting them in to co-create with you, to participate with you. And they feel as though they are directly contributing to what it is that the team are doing, which they don't just feel it, they are. That gets the team into its next space. And that's a really rewarding space, because in that space, the team feel as though they have really made it together. And in that making it together, you find that there is this glue that is formed within the team, that they really have each other's back, and they're really proud together of what it is that they have achieved. You've created collective success. And when you have that collective success, well, that's just incredibly juicy and exciting for a team, because they are just primed to take themselves further and to continue to grow. Once you've achieved this sort of golden status of high performance as a team, it's quite an interesting one, because instinctively you might think, high five, we're here, we've done it, woohoo, what's left for us to do? And that might be the case, you know, in terms of how it is that you work together. It's slick, you know each other's game, you've got each other's back, you're aligned in thinking, and you enjoy being there. That might feel really good. It would feel really good. From an organizational perspective, there's a couple of things that we need to really home in on when we're looking at our teams and identifying that high performing team, because it's the team that you need to watch the most. Just think about it. We have a group of individuals who are together high performing. And to maintain this high performance, it's not as straightforward as maybe that high performing team might think. There's a couple of things that will always be at play. One, the external environment, that's always going to be shifting. So as a high performing team, we need to make sure that they're not overly confident in how it is that they're doing things and why it is that they're doing things is the way. We need to make sure that they are always second guessing each other. So that they remain in that high performing zone, that they remain in a state of evolvement, so that they're enhancing their ways of working and not sitting back going, hey, we've got this. You can get bitten on the bum sometimes as a high performing team, because it can be a sort of, oh, weight off our shoulders. This feels really good. We've made it. We've got there. And with sort of that lull into false sense of security that we're good. We're good to go. We don't really have anything else that we need to work on. So I think important to always be aware, you know, be aware as a high performing team that what got you in this space won't be what will move you forward. You will always need to push the boundaries within that team. But pushing the boundaries within that team is also not just important to make sure that we're looking at market conditions and that we're remaining agile. Pushing the boundaries is also important to make sure that we as individuals in that high performing team feel as though we are continuously being stretched. Otherwise, for us individually, we might start to feel a little bit frustrated. You know, we might have become a bit of a need for the challenge. We might be starting to think about what's our next step. So quite often you find in a high performing team that at some point there will be a change. There will be a change that someone will move out of that team because they're being tapped on the shoulder for their next opportunity. There might be a bit of a reshuffle within the organization, and it might therefore mean that you as a team start to shift. So we always need to be on our toes. And I'd always guide businesses when they're saying, you know, yeah, this team is good. This is one of our high performing teams. Fantastic. Let's learn from what it is that this team did to get to this space. And let's make sure that we're looking to mirror that across different parts of the business, so other teams follow in the same suit. But then think about who is in that team. What are your flight risks? What's your succession planning looking like? And what is it that this high-performing team can now move on to do? We want to make sure that they are being given some opportunity, as I say, to be stretched. It could be that we bring in more strategic projects within that team. We want to make sure that they remain future focused. What we can't afford is that moment of going, done. Got the t-shirt and wearing the badge. We are high performing. Because within a few months, you could find yourself slipping back into some of those older habits that see you lose that high performing status. It's interesting when you're working with a team that can find themselves in this space of feeling stuck, because why they're stuck can look different for each member of the team. And that's when it becomes important and pretty critical to the success of any team to really get under the skin of what's going on for each of the members. Stuckness for one person could be a very individual thing. There might be something going on in life that has meant that work has had to take second place. Or third place, whatever that might be for the person. There could be somebody else in the team that is thinking, well, I'm feeling a bit stuck here because I'm not really moving on. You know, I was hoping for a promotion, or I was hoping to have got involved in something else over this last 6 months and it hasn't happened. Could be somebody else in the team that is feeling really stretched. And so whenever I'm working with the team, for whatever the reason I'm working with the team, we have to start off with this space of discovery, you know, where we're exploring the context and the for each person within that team, because that gives us extra color into what is actually going on, why the stuckness has come about. And from there, what it is that we can start to do to move the team forward. In one situation, a team I was working with were feeling particularly stuck, and it wasn't actually anything really to do with the team themselves. It was more around the actual clarity of what was coming from the organization more broadly. You know, they felt like they were doing great work, but each time they presented something back, it just didn't really seem to meet the expectations. But those expectations just weren't clear because the organization themselves were going through quite a lot of change. And so there wasn't a lot of clarity. In that space, that team needed to relearn how to lead in an agile and nimble way. They had to move from the need of feeling like every deliverable was at sort of 100% and accepting the fact that, you know, 80% of it was at a hit in the mark and there were question marks on 20% of it. And in fact, moving the perspective so that they wanted a bit more of that 80-20, because actually that meant as though they were always being quite nimble in how they were going about their work. But ultimately, if you are looking across in your office or thinking about the team that you work with that might be globally positioned, and you're thinking, well, yeah, there's something not quite right here. I feel as though we're not delivering in the way that we could, but we're a bit clueless as to what exactly it is that we need to do. That exploration, that upfront exploration, before you bring in any top team models, before you start doing any workshops within your team, get to the root cause as to what exactly is going on. And from there, you can build. Yeah, what are your options? You know you don't have the right team. What are your options? You know, it's quite interesting that we can forget, actually, how many options, the full array of options that are available to us. Because in that moment of this team isn't right, that in that moment, we typically have that increased level of stress. We typically have that moment of panic. And in that moment, we're seeing problems. We're not seeing possibilities. And so There are lots of options available to teams. And one of the main things that I would always advise is recognizing that who you have in your team right now, they're there with you for a moment in time. as the head of a team, you don't own that those team members. Of course, they're with you for a period of time of their career. They're hopefully with your organization for a good tenure and having a fruitful career. So ultimately, it's about looking at the members in your team and assessing them for their fit for what it is that your team needs to do at this point in time and what it is that your team need to do in order to reach that horizon, that future, that strategy in terms of where it is that we're going. And if you find that when you do that sense of assessment, that could be something that is a deep dive assessment where you're going through a behavioral event interview and really getting under the skin of the people, or it could be, you know, one-to-one conversations with your team saying, hey, what is it that you're looking for right now? What is it that you want from your role? And starting to do a little bit of a mental map. Does that really fit what it is that we're doing as a team? This is when we're having adult conversations. We're having adult conversations to establish, are you in the right team? Is this the right space for you? Because if it's not, organizations have this opportunity to create careers for people in their business. And of course, that becomes a really fulfilling and positive outcome of anybody within their team. They can have a portfolio career within one organization. So I think when you are faced with a situation of thinking, I don't have the right team, this isn't a moment of fear. This is a moment of exploration. This is a moment of curiosity and to be able to think about, well, what could we do here? And then who's in my network internally that might be thinking similarly? What talent do they have? Who are they looking to move, or who within their teams are looking for their next opportunity? So it's that sort of horizon look, that lateral thinking, so that we're really making the most out of the talent that are within our whole business and putting them in the right roles. Ultimately, once you're in that right role, you'll know, you'll see it with the people that are working with you. You'll see them shine. You'll see their energy. You'll feel their energy. You'll see their great work. And when you get that match, we've all had that match in our career for ourselves. I hope we all have, at least. And when we're looking at people in our team, we want them to have those experiences. So ultimately, it's about don't hold on for too long. Create the opportunity for everyone. And look at how the business can be agile and nimble in terms of how they create opportunity for their people.
Before we conclude this episode, I have some exciting news to share with you. At Newland Rock, we have developed a team effectiveness health check tool that you can now access by visiting newlandrock.com/team health check. We understand that the success of your leadership team is crucial to achieving your organization's strategic goals. And therefore, we want to provide our clients with a tool that can help them identify ways to enhance their team's performance. Once you complete the team health check, you will receive immediate insights and recommendations. These insights will help you understand how your team is performing now and identify ways to help you improve their performance for the future, all aligned to our signature program, where we work with high-performing teams across the globe. I hope you find this tool helpful, and I'm looking forward to sharing your results with you.